Well, I tell you what, the church ought to be singing about the saints from glory. Amen. Going to glory. I read a thing the other day. A preacher said, it's a shame today, but church folk will go to the high school game on Friday and they'll watch the college game on Saturday and they'll scream and shout and jump around like a bunch of Comanche Indians. And then they'll come to church on Sunday and they look like wooden Indians. We ought to call them Kalaja. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you folks know who Kalaja was. Old Kalaja was a wooden Indian, never went nowhere. Amen. Because his heart was made of 90 pine. Friends, if your heart has been touched by Jesus, you ought to shout. You a saint. Amen. We're going to be in a parade. We're going to march one day in the streets of glory. Amen. And the greatest thing of all, it's going to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I don't know about you. I like the saints. I hope they win the Super Bowl again one day. But they probably never will. But one day, we will stand at the Super Bowl of all time when the saints come home to be with Jesus. Friend, that's enough to make you shout, amen? Amen? But along the way, there's some things we need to take hold of. We need to understand that the church of the living God is here today. And we need this to church. As you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 27. I want to talk to us today about the good courage of David's heart. There's three things that have to be in every church for it to be able to move forward, for it to be able to accomplish God's will and purpose. A church that is growing, that is building, and is making a genuine threat to the devil, and is building and manifesting God's presence in the kingdom work on earth, I tell you one other thing. They're going to have commitment. Three C's, you can write them down. If they ain't got these three things, they're just sitting there playing. Commitment. And commitment always will involve courage. That's why a lot of people won't commit to the things of God. They don't have courage. Because I won't tell you what, courage and commitment come hand in hand. And then the third thing that a church has to realize and understand is that if you're going to be committed to God's will and purpose for why we're here, you're going to have to be committed. And you're going to have courage to do it because it's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be pleasant. But courage will keep you committed to Christ. Without it, you'll give up. And then you got to understand something. Anything that alive is changing. You can't stay like you are and be alive in Christ. If Christ shows up in a person's life, in a family's life, in a home, in a body of believers, I can promise you change is not an option. And when there's an unwillingness to change, when there's a lack of courage, and there's not true commitment to Christ, the church just founders. The church just kind of goes through the motions. It's in survival mode. Hope we keep the bills paid. I hope we got enough people there Sunday. I hope we can make it till Jesus comes. But I don't know about you. I thank God for the promise of what we just sang about and the hope of come in glory, but I want to tell you something. I'm not expecting to have to wait to get to heaven to see the goodness of God in my life, in my ministry, and in the people's life that He's called me to shepherd. I expect, because I have a living hope, that we're going to see the goodness of God today in the land of the living, or I wouldn't waste my time standing up here this morning. Amen. And I don't know if you got you, but there's more good things to come. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Amen. That He pours blessings on people who are committed, who have courage, who are willing to let Him change them. And friends, there's a lot of things don't need to change. Certainly there's some things that don't change. The Word of God, God Himself. But there's not a person in this room that doesn't have room for change. And there's not a church that doesn't need change. A church that says, we can't grow, we've just been struggling, and they want to keep doing the same thing, that's insanity. We need to understand that if God shows up, change is coming. Amen. It's going to take us being committed to things we've never committed to yet. And for us to commit to that, it's going to take courage. Look at what David says here. I love this passage of Scripture. We're going to focus on the last two, but we're going to read them all. Listen to what David says. Verse 1 of chapter 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. And though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. though war may rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around. And therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. And do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. And this is the two verses I want us to preach. I would have lost heart, David said, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord when I went to heaven. Is that what it says? He said, today, in the land of the living. There's too many Christians hanging on. Oh, woe is me. It's so hard. Oh, God, help me to just get to heaven. When we ought to be walking in victory and experiencing the joy and the blessings and recognizing and celebrating the goodness of the Lord today in the land of the living. If you can't celebrate him in the land of the living, there's a good chance you're not going to get to go celebrate him in a place called heaven. Because if you know him, if he's your God, if he saved you, if he's your light, he's leading you in a path that gives you something to shout about. If you ain't got a shout in you today, you haven't been following him. And listen what he says. Wait on the Lord. Be, and here's where we get our message, of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's not a person in here whose courage hasn't failed him. But you ought to have more courage today than you had when you first said, Lord, save me. When you first got to the place where you was a baby and you just got birthed in by the grace of God and he put the spiritual life in you and you were born again and you became a Christian, a child of God. And you began to change because any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new. And as Christ began to manifest himself to you and show you him and who he is and prove his faithfulness to you, and as you walked with him and he walked by you and he provided for you and he took care of you and he helped you, certainly you ought to have more commitment, more courage, and you ought to be very changed than when you met Christ. But there's too many churches, they ain't no different, been the same since the 50s. Been trying to do the same old thing and it ain't working. But we're committed to Christ. But what if Christ shows up and says, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. How long has it been since Jesus interrupted your life? How much it's been since he changed your agenda? Because if you're following Christ, that's what he will do. But guys, I'm going to be here to tell you, it takes more than just commitment. It takes the courage to fulfill that commitment and a willingness to let your life be changed to follow and be committed to Christ. When he called me to preach, it was scary. When I told my wife, I think he wants us to quit our jobs and for me to go to seminary, it was scary. When we packed up everything we had, sold what we couldn't bring, put it all in one little trailer, a guy named David drug us down and dropped us off at my family home where I had grew up, where my brother, who was lost and didn't want us to be there, had to share a home with us, and we moved in with him with great opposition that this is my house. I said, no, it's our house. It belonged to my daddy, and you've been getting to live in it for 12 years while I was up in Tennessee. You got to share it for a little while. And me moving in and him still like I used to be, and we wasn't there a week, and you can ask Diane. I come home and he was disrespecting my wife and me and him went out in the yard and I said, one of us ain't going back in, brother. And Diane's on her face praying. But before we left, God moved us, gave us a parsonage. He said, please don't go. Because he had seen what it was like to see what Jesus had done to us. And he had a wife that was, my wife was loving him and helping him. And we moved down the road to the parsonage, and he'd be at our house every night eating breakfast and supper, not in the morning, but you know what I meant. But see, if we would have been unwilling, there's a good chance I would have never baptized my brother. Because before long, he started coming to church. And as I was pastoring that first church, I went to seminary, didn't even have a church, wondering how I'm going to pay for it, where I'm going to live. In my first semester of school, he gave me my first church. I baptized my little brother in that church. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. When I got out of seminary, it's never got any easier. God's constantly telling me, go here and do that. When you read that verse about Abraham, Abraham went not knowing where he was going. But he went out following the Lord because the Lord told him to go. It takes courage. Where does that courage come from? I want you to see something. That word good courage is in the Bible a lot. In Chronicles chapter 19, verse 13, Joab told the people of God, listen, we're going to win. We got to go fight. But be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Friend, I'm here to tell you, if you want to see the Lord do what is good in his sight, if you want to get blessed, if you want him to show you his goodness in now, the land of the living, you got to be people of good courage. You got to be willing to understand that people are looking at us. We got enough chicken littles in the church. Oh, woe is me. The sky is falling. Friend, let it fall. I know who created it. Amen. And if he lets it fall, that means we're fixing to be out. Amen.
That's right.
But guys, listen. Be of good courage. Let us be strong for our people. Guys, if there's ever been a time when the people in America need to see people of God who are filled with courage and commitment, whose lives have been changed. We living in them, amen? If you're waiting for courage to be exemplified up in the White House, it ain't going to happen. Thank God for some men who seem to be every now and then exemplifying courage and commitment to what made America what it is. Guys, listen, those men who signed the Declaration of Independence, before anything else, they were men of courage. When they wrote their name on the line, they put their homes, they put their every property they owned, they put their very lives on the line that they wrote their name when they put their John Hancock, because that made them treasonous to the king. And if America would not have won its independence, every one of them would have been hung by the neck until they were dead. Their homes, their properties would all be given up. That's why they said, give me liberty or give me death. And friends, the church is never going to move forward. It's never going to invade enemy territory. We're never going to see a big work of God till we get courage. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Courage is a needed thing in the house of God. He says, and for the cities of God, and may the Lord do what is right in his sight. Guys, look at this. 2 Timothy says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's the direct opposite of courage. But he has given us power and of love and a sound mind. Guys, listen, courage is needed if we're going to lead for God. God told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide us an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua in verse 9 said, have I not commanded you, the Lord said, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor to be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Friends, we can take courage today that when we have heard from God and we're going for God and God is directing and leading us, that we don't have to be afraid that our God is with us. Listen what he told the people in verse 10. Then Joshua said to all the people, do not be afraid. Why he said that? Because God told him not to be afraid. And nor be dismayed, be strong, and here it is, and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all our enemies against whom you fight. You see, they had to fight the enemy, but the battle was not theirs, it was the Lord's. And friends, I want you to think of this. Isaiah said, everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. Guys, we need courage today in the house of God. Now I want you to think about this with me as we look. Courage comes from God. David says, if you look in verse 13, he says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord today in the land of the living. Therefore, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now listen, good courage. There's courage that's not good. A lot of people have courage when what they believe in is popular, and because it's popular, they're in the majority. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to stand for what is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right. And friends, courage that comes because you have the majority is not courage. The odds are for you. That's not walking by faith. That's by walking by sight. Let me add it up. I think we'll win the vote. Let me see. I think we're in the majority. Friends, today, I hate to tell you, but if you love Jesus Christ with all your heart, you believe this book is the holy word of God. It's infallible. It's inspired, breathed by God himself, and that it is the word of God. You are the minority in America. So you're not going to win because you're the majority. Friends, I love what Andrew Jackson said, though. He said, one man with courage makes a majority. Did you hear that? Amen. One man with courage is a majority. Now, guys, where does this type of courage come from? You can't manufacture it. You can't get it from head knowledge. You can have all the head knowledge in the world of truth, but until truth has your heart, you will not trust it enough to have courage. And you'll faint and you'll falter. Courage doesn't come from knowledge of the Word of God. Courage comes from walking with the God of the Word. The Word of God means something in your heart because you knew it come from Him and you trusted Him and you took Him at His Word and you've walked with Him all your life. And if there's one thing God always proves is that He's faithful to His Word. Amen. And friends, listen to David. The first thing he said you see about David is his confidence in his God. Listen to what he says in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. David said, He's my light. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He said, The Lord is also my strength of my life. He's my strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? David said, I got courage. How can I be afraid? He's my strength. And the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. That's how we should walk every day. Not in our strength, but his strength. Believing in his might. And friends, listen to what he says right below that in verse 2. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. And though, even though an army encamp against me, he says, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. He was confident in one thing. He didn't have to fear because God was his strength. He didn't have to be afraid because God was his light and his salvation. Friends, if we're saved and we're rightly related to Jesus, there are times that come that will test your faith. But you'll have the courage to trust it and commit to it. Friends, today the church at any little wind of opposition falters. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to do the will of God, you'll never accomplish the will of God on the wide road, the easy ride that Jesus said is going to destruction. Jesus said the road he's going down, the road that leads to life is the difficult road that you got to go through, the narrow gate that few go down. You know why few go down the road of Jesus? Because the road of Jesus is not the easy road. The road of popularity, the masses are on it. Religion will always accommodate you. It'll justify your sin. It'll say you're all right. You're good as everybody else. See, because religion couldn't exist unless religion lied to you to make you think you can be good enough. You can do good enough, Brother Witt, to get the goodness of God. You can try hard enough to earn the goodness of God. That's what religion tells you. But Jesus tells you there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous. That at our best, our good works are as filthy rags, according to Isaiah. The only thing that you can expect goodness to come from is the source, Jesus himself, God our Savior. That's why David said, the Lord is my Savior, and I don't have to be afraid. He's my light. Religion will lie to you. That's how it continues to exist. That's how it prospers. But a relationship in Christ is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me but through the to the Father, but through me. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. And in me alone is life. And friends, I don't know about you, but when you got that life and you've been following his way and you've got a hold of his truth and his truth's got you and Jesus is your Savior, friend, he won't lead you in darkness. I don't know about you, but when we were little, my little brother was scared of the dark. Any of y'all, tell the truth, y'all been scared of the dark? Last night I was coming out of the woods and I was walking real fast like I do. And man, I was trying to get to the truck with no flashlight because I didn't want to scare no deer. And I'm walking down this pipeline, and man, I'm wide open, and I forgot they had some ruts where they had, and I stepped off in one of them ruts. Oh, Lord, I wish I'd have turned on my flashlight. That's why I'm limping a little bit. And man, I went to hooping and hollering, oh, Jesus, help me get to the truck. Man, I was getting to the truck. But you know what? I wasn't afraid of the dark. But my little brother was. And when we was growing up, we used to have chores. Now, some of you kids are scared of chores. But I was more scared of daddy. And our chores was, we didn't have dishwashers. We was the dishwasher. And one night, one person washed, another dried. And one person always had to carry the scraps out to the where we fed the old dog. And back in the end, our day, our dog was just glad that we was leave him a bone. He didn't get kennel ration and all that stuff. He got what we didn't eat, what was old. And so we'd have to go all the way to this big white oak way in the backyard, right by the shed. And daddy made us put it in that same spot. He had an old piece of metal laying there. You had to put it on. And I knew my little brother was scared of the dark. And I done figured out. It takes a while to wash them dishes. It takes longer to dry them. Then you got to put them up. But man, running out there to feed that dog don't take long. So while we was eating, I started saying, yeah, the silk lady's going to get you, brother. Silk lady's after you. She's out there. Ooh. And monsters is out. Daddy, make him quit. Never fail. Marvin, I'll wash the dishes. You take I'd go put the food out. You know, the older I get, though, the more I realize we ought to be scared of the dark. Because there might not be a silk lady, but I want to tell you, in the dark, it's guaranteed destruction. In the dark, there is guaranteed being led astray. But in the light, it's guaranteed God's going to take care of you. He's not going to lead you anywhere you're not supposed to go or be. And whenever you go and you follow the light, you're always going to be with him. But in the darkness is to be apart from God. That's what hell is, to be separated. And the greatest thing about heaven is to be with him. And if you are walking in the light, he's the God of your salvation. He's the light. There's going to be strength in your heart. Your heart's not going to be consumed with fear and doubt. It's going to be overcome with a spirit of power and love and sound mind because you know God's with you. And friends, I don't know about y'all, but David was confident in his God because he knew him, not about him. He had walked with him. When Goliath come against him, it wasn't 5 stones or however many he picked up. Believe it or not, I'm a preacher. I ain't never counted the stones. I just knew it took one.
That's right.
But David knew that it might take more, so he picked up extras. But 1 stone, no, Goliath went down. Why did David win? Because he was a good marksman with a sling? No, because he had the sense to say, the battle is of the Lord. You come against me and with swords and spears, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of Israel. Amen. And David stood. His fear was overcome because of his confidence in his God. When Saul was on his back chasing him down, he had opportunity to kill Saul in a cave. Saul was taken relief. There's no more vulnerable time than when a man's taken that. David was standing right there. I better leave. It's in the Bible so I can say it. He was going to the bathroom doing number 2. He picks out of all the caves. Go read it. It's in the Bible. Look at him. Ooh, can't say it in the Baptist church. You can say it with the word of God. You ought to be able to say it in the Baptist church. But listen, here he is. David's hiding in the same cave. Saul comes in. The king. Who's after him? He's out there right now trying to hunt him down like a dog. David could have cut his throat right there. But you know what David did? He cut the corner off his holy robe. His royal robe. It wasn't holy. He goes outside, David comes out and says, O king, I am not your enemy, for I will not touch the hand of God's anointed. See, David feared God. That's why he didn't have to fear Saul.
Amen.
And even Saul fell down on his face and said, O king, you have showed to be more righteous than me. And he didn't do anything to him that day. His own son Absalom came against him, rebelled against him and his kingdom, and got all the forces turned against him. David had to flee Jerusalem and the kingdom palace from his own son. You think David hadn't seen God uphold him, keep him faithful? That's who's writing this. What has God took you through? What has God saved you from? I don't know about you. I got much more reason today to be confident in God and to have courage because of him than I do to fear and to doubt him. Have I not had times of uncertainty? If I've not had times when I got confused and said, "Where are you, God?" If anybody hasn't said that, you haven't tried to follow him. But I want to tell you something. He's always showed up, Brother Jimmy, in time to save me, to keep me, and to lead me. And he'll do it for you. But I want you to see, that doesn't come from going to church. That doesn't come from just walking around. I want you to look at this. David's communion with God. David had a real communion with God. He had a relationship, not religion. Listen to what it says in verse 4. David said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Why? "So that I'll have my money paid and my health taken." No, he says, "so that I can behold the beauty of the Lord." I don't know why you came this morning. I came to see Jesus. I came to experience him. Now, there's times when I've came just hoping he'd give me the strength to get through it. Amen. There's times when I got on my face and begged him, "Please help me get out of this. I got myself in this. Help me get out." And there's been times when I said, "Lord, if you'll just get me out of this debt, I'll never get in again. Lord, if you'll help me pay off this credit card, I'll cut them up and I'll never do this." I've done that once. And I ain't had to do it again. How about you? Because he got me out of it. But guys, there's nothing wrong with asking him for that, but that should not be why you came to church. "God, heal me and I'll follow you." You won't follow him. See, "God, show me who you are. Let me see your glory. Let your beauty be made known in your house today. And Lord, when I leave, I won't have to worry about all these other things because I'll know you're real." David knew he was real. Listen to what he says in verse 5. He says, "For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high up on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore," David says, "I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle." Look what he says. "I will sing," yes, "I will sing praises to the Lord." If the music has to be a certain kind to make you sing praises to the Lord, you're not singing praises to the Lord. If the music is intended to bless God and it's singing about God, and it's telling you about the glory of God, that ought to be enough for you to sing praises. Whether it's rap, Southern gospel, or anything in between. Friends, it's not about the music. It's about the one we sing it to. And friends, I want you to understand, I love music, and music has its place, and it does help. But it's not the final outcome of whether or not you sing and praise Jesus. If you've been walking with him all week and he's gotten you through, if he's upheld you, if he's protected you, when you come, you're not wondering what kind of music we're going to sing. You're going to say, "Just turn me loose, brother. I want to sing to the Lord. I want to give him praise. I want to show him glory because he's been so good to me. I'm not waiting to see the goodness of the Lord. I've already got it. He saved me. He's protected me." And guys, David had that type of communion with the Lord. But you see, to have that type of communion with the Lord, you got to have real, genuine communication with the Lord. And let's tell the truth today. Let's get Judgment Day honest. Have you spent time with the Lord any this week? Have you talked to the Lord in prayer? Has the Lord talked to you through his word? Have you opened the Bible this week and said, "Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me"? Or is this the first time you picked it up this week? Maybe you haven't prayed till today. "Lord, I'm going to church." But guys, I want you to see something. It's not even enough to pray in your heart. I believe when you get in a right communion, a right relationship with God, he becomes so real that you talk to him. I don't know about y'all, but do you think it's an accident when something happens to you? You go, "Oh, Jesus, when I twisted my ankle, I heard it in the middle of them woods. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord, get to the truck." I was talking to him out loud. You know what I find? That when troubles come, they don't run you from Jesus. Genuine relationship, when you have communion with him, troubles bring you to Jesus. And all these people who, "I just love Jesus, but I don't go to church no more. I got my feelings hurt." They don't know the Jesus I know. Because my feelings been hurt in the church, I'm here to tell you. There's way more pain been caused in my heart in the church than the barroom ever thought about. Because they forgive you at the barroom and buy you a beer. Church, they never forget. Much less forgive, brother. But I'm here to tell you, that ain't true always, but it has been true more ways than it should. But all kidding aside, what's going to keep you going and committed and courageous is a communication that's so real, you talk out loud to Jesus. You say, what? They'll think you're crazy. That lady, Joyce Bear or Bear or whatever, that poor liberal that's going to hell, that's got that show. Yeah, that's her. You know who she is. You've been watching her, huh? You better turn that mess off. Made fun of our Vice President Pence because he talks to Jesus and said, don't people that talk to Jesus need marital counseling? Well, send me. I need counseling, but you got one problem. I already got the best one.
Amen.
I got the counselor. And I don't hate to tell you, Miss Joyce, but he talks back. It's the loudest whisper I'll ever heard, Gary. When he talks, it's louder than Diane. When he says your name, you know he's calling. When he speaks truth into your life through the power of his Holy Spirit, you can recognize it and you won't ever, ever reject it. Because they ain't nothing like God when he shows up. You see, David, I want you to see, his communication was so real that he cried out loud. Look at verse 7 with me. David said, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. How many of you ever got alone where you knew you wouldn't disturb anybody? More importantly, that nobody would disturb you and had a little talk with Jesus. Jesus, what's going on? Where you? Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need you. Someone said the greatest prayer ever prayed is, help me, Jesus. I believe it's true. But when's the last time you talked to him out loud? When's the last time? I was sitting at a red light one time listening to a song. Man, it was unbelievable. It touched my heart. I'm sitting there with my hand up saying, thank you, Jesus. The person behind me starts blowing the horn. And the lights done turn green, and I'm pulling off, and they all looking at me. Yeah, I can't help it. I'm guilty. I've been talking to Jesus. If he can talk to you at a red light, think what he can do if you'll just get alone with him in a good quiet place where you won't get disturbed and they won't blow the horn at you when you get a hold of him and he gets a hold of you where you got time to stay with him. David knew what it was like to get a hold of God, and he knew what it was like to God get a hold of him. When's the last time God got a hold of you, my friend? When's the last time your communication with God produced a communion with God to the point you was confident in God, to where you was courageous for God, to where you was committed to him, that nothing anyone could say could be louder than the voice that had already spoken into your heart? Because that's the loudest voice to a true Christian. The voice of God when he speaks into our life. Listen to what he says. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. David expected an answer. Why? Because of mercy. We don't deserve an answer. Don't think, I go to church now, I tithe, I support that crazy preacher. God, you ought to answer me. But God did say, call to me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. Friends, but he don't answer you because you deserve it. He answers you because he's merciful. And friends, listen to what David said. Look at verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. He says, do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. He knew that God personally. He had communication with him. He cried out. Look at verse 28. Look at Psalm 28, those of you who've got Bibles. Look at what he says in Psalm 28. Look at verse 1. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock, and do not be silent to me. Listen to what he says in verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Look at verse 6 of chapter 28. Blessed be the Lord because he has heard my voice of my supplications, and the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. Friends, a song is heard. A true cry to God is audible. Don't be ashamed to talk to God out loud. I'm going to tell you something else, talking to Jesus out loud. It lets the devil know you mean business.
Right.
See, he's not God. He can't read your thoughts. Doesn't mean he don't have a demon assigned to you that's watching you, that's trying to keep you from getting serious with Jesus. But friends, when you go to talking to him, oh, I want to tell you, sin, not only do you get God's attention, but you get Satan's attention. Devil, I know what you're up to. Devil, not to, I like them shirts. Not today, devil. Have you seen them, Brother Gary? Not today, devil. You need to tell him that. Devil, you got me on this last week, but not today. I'm walking with Jesus. Jesus, give me strength. Jesus, help me. Jesus, my enemy, the accuser, the adversary of God, Satan is after me. But devil, help me, Jesus. I want to tell you, God helps that kind of person. But friends, I want you to see, not only did David have real communication that produced a confidence. I want you to see this one. David found comfort from God. And I don't know about you, my comfort is not in what happens with Brett Kavanaugh for the future of America. Although, I believe we need good conservative, good men who believe the Constitution, who will uphold the Constitution. I believe he is that. But besides that, I don't know anything else for certainty what he's done or hasn't done. But I do know this, God knows truth. He knows everything about everybody. And what I pray for is God for the truth to prevail. Amen. My Bible tells me that, and this is just extra, but it tells me that righteousness builds up any nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when we have people who are righteous, God's able to build and encourage our nation. And when we have people who are sinful, it brings a reproach. And guys, listen, there's things, if you watch what's going on, that brings reproach. And there's things that seem to stand for righteousness, but in the end, only God knows. But what we do know is people need to put their comfort and their hope and their confidence not in a jurist or a president or a political party, but in God. Because regardless of what they end up doing up there, my comfort is going to come from God. Because look, they might have what they call the Supreme Court, but my God don't have no court. He is the court, brothers. And what God says is. And I don't know about y'all, I've been reading what he has to say. And I'd rather stand with him and his word than anything anybody else has ever had to say. Not that I am not glad and thankful for the Declaration of Independence, for our Constitution. But I want to tell you something. He's even trumped by this book and by our God. And David had comfort. He was the king. He could make an order and it could be taken care of. He had the army of God at his disposal. But that wasn't where he found his comfort. He found his comfort in that he knew God put him there, God would keep him there, and that he would always be with God. Because that's what salvation does. Listen what he says in verse 9. He says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. David's looking back. He said, you've been my help all these years. You've kept me. You've sustained me because you saved me. And Lord, today, don't turn from me. Listen what he says. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. He even had more comfort in God than his parents. And ain't nobody loves me as much as my mama, except maybe Diane. I think they run a close race trying to see who can love me the most. My mama loves me. She'd take up for me. If y'all ever turn on me, beware. My mama lives in range. Because she will come. Point that little finger. But you see, David understood that no matter how much mama loves you, no matter how much your wife or your husband loves you, no matter how much your parents love you or your kids love you, that's not where you're going to ever find this type of comfort, because they can fail. I've forsaken her. I've failed her. I'm not going to say she failed me, but she come close. But all kidding aside, you know what I'm talking about. But David had the sense to see this. He said, in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. See, one of the greatest things I ever learned was God didn't give Diane to me to take care of me. It's not her job to make me happy. It's not her job to fulfill me. That's God's job. And I used to think she's going to make everything better. And I used to put that unneeded pressure on her. And she tried to do it. She tried to save me. She tried to change me. Could you change me? Greatest thing Diane ever did was give up on changing me and knelt down to and sick Jesus on me. Amen. Your wife ever sick Jesus on you, friend, you might as well give her up because you're in trouble. But guys, listen. Why did David knew that? Because David had walked with God. David had a relationship with God. And David, as much as he knows God, it's obvious he has experienced God. He has a communion. He has communication. He has a confidence that you can't fake, that has to come from a relationship that God has to give to you, from a personal encounter and a relationship. Yet David's still saying, teach me, God. Teach me. Teach me some more. Look at verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Guys, our comfort is that if you really in your heart want to follow God, He'll lead you. And He'll always lead you to where you'll make it. And David said, lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe violence. David is in a bad place right here. He said, they after me. And if they get me, I'm through. But he said, but I would have lost heart, God. I would have given up. I'd have lost my courage. I'd have lost confidence. I would have lost my heart unless I had believed that I would see your goodness today, now, in this life. That's why, God, I'm waiting on you. That's why I'm taking good courage to not give up on you. You brought me to here. You're going to take me to there. You got the plan. Teach me and show me the way. Lead me in the smooth path for your righteousness' sake. He says, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know what David had? David's strength and courage is obvious, came from God. The preacher can't give it to you. You can't borrow it from your parents' faith, and you can't get it from your spouse's faith. You see, ultimately, faith and courage come together. You know why we don't witness for Jesus? Everybody tells you, they even wrote a book, Sharing Jesus Without Fear. I liked the book. I read the book. I even used some of its teachings. But I'm telling you, after a long time of sharing Jesus, it's impossible to share Jesus without fear. If you go to your neighbor, if you go to your workmate, and it's even harder when you got to go to someone who lives in your house that ain't got Jesus and don't want Jesus, and you tell them about Jesus, there's always fear. And friends, I'm going to tell you what, preaching, you think, well, Brother Marvin don't have no fear. Had a deacon at my other church said, boy, they didn't know what they did when they called you, but they got a Baptist bulldog for Jesus. I said, I ain't no bulldog. I'm scared when I get up there sometimes. And there's been times when I've stood in that pulpit shaking. And when I got my first church, I'm going to tell this story as quick as I can. I wasn't there but 2 months. 2 months. Two of the deacons were first cousins. And one of the deacons' daughter led the music, and his oldest son was doing the youth. All volunteer laymen. So I come in there. Excited. It's my first church. I was there 1 month and I found out he wasn't a member of the church. So he sends and walks up and says, I'm going to join the church. I'm like, you're going to need to join the church if you're going to be leading the youth. I ain't been a pastor long, but I know that's good. Amen. So I send for his letter. The next Sunday he shows up and he's got hickeys all over his neck. All over. Y'all know what them are? Where I grew up and come from, we call them hickeys. Some people call them passion marks. But they ain't got no place in the house of God, on a child of God. Even if you're married, that ain't real good to do. Much less, I found out he wasn't married. And that the girl that sat beside him every week he was living with, and they're not married. I'm like, what am I going to do, God? Oh, Jesus, I thought I was just coming here to preach. Boy, there's a lot more to preaching, brothers, than preaching. And so I'm already concerned, and we get the letter from the church, First Baptist Mandeville, from Brother Ken Schroeder. He says, Dear Pastor Cooper, it is with regret that we are not able to give Brother so-and-so, a letter of good standing from our church due to details of how and why he left. Call me. Had his number on it. So I called him. You know what he told me? He said he ran off on his wife here for a woman he met way up north somewhere on the internet. And he went up there and it didn't work and he come back and he got caught. And that's why he's by himself and that's why he's with her. And we're not going to issue him a letter because he's not in good standing with our church. He left because he wouldn't repent. I don't know what to tell you, brother. God bless you. You ought to get that. I come back that next Sunday and I said, Lord, I got to tell him. So after church, I said, brother, I need to talk to you. And the girl came with us. We sat in the room. I said, look, I thank God you want to serve God and that you're here and you're wanting to come, but you know, you didn't get a letter. And in fact, I know now you're not married. And then on top of this, you had them things on your neck, and I'm going to have to ask you to step down from leading the youth till you get your life in order. Hard thing to do. He took the Sunday quarterly, threw it at me, and said, you can have my class. Stomped out. The girl starts confessing things that I didn't want to hear, confirming that he didn't need to do what he's doing. He gets in the parking lot, slings gravel. We had a gravel parking lot, half gravel, half blacktop. And he's a redneck, so he was parked in the gravel, I reckon. He slings gravel, leaves her with me. I'm an old God. So I finally get back home. Diane said, what happened? It ain't good. Come back that night. His mama and his sister who leads the worship, his uncle who's the deacon, his daddy who's a deacon, and two other deacons, Brother Grady Jenkins and Brother Bay Morse, had four deacons. His mama stands up and says, you have hurt my son's feelings, and because of you, he won't come back to church, and he ain't coming to church here no more because of you, and you did this. I wasn't going to say nothing to the whole church. I was planning on talking to his daddy after church. I said, all I know is, church, y'all need to pray, and I need my deacons in my office right now. Out of everybody in the church, two people went to the altar, Diane and my Aunt Dot. Everybody else knew. They all da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we go in there, and I ain't had this church 2 months. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Diane knows I'm standing on the truth. I said, brothers, this is where we're at. This letter, he's living with a woman out of wedlock. He ain't even divorced from the other one. I know why he did on the internet. I said, then the things on his neck. I said, guys, I don't have any ill will toward him. I hope he gets right with Jesus. But I'm not pastoring a church if y'all going to let those kind of people be the leader. So tonight, y'all can pick him or me. I'm willing to stand where y'all choose. Right out the front, the cousin said, I can't go against them. They're family. I said, all right, I understand that. That's your choice, but he's wrong. I ain't taking up for him, but I can't go against him. He's my family. He's my son. He's my son. That's all he kept saying. I looked at the other two deacons and said, where y'all stand, brother? And Brother Bay said, I'm with you, preacher. I said, you're not with me, you're with God. Don't ever forget that. The other one said, I'm with you too. We go back out. It's about 6:15. Service supposed to start at 6. I stand there, and that little girl says, I'm not singing church. I'm not leading worship for you. I said, that's fine. Sit down. Her mama stood up, said, this ain't none of your business. He put makeup on it. I said, that's all right. I said, y'all do whatever y'all want to do, but God gave me a sermon. I come to worship God, and I'm going to worship him with or without you. And I'll never forget what that lady said. She said, we can do both. And I said, well, do the best you can, sister. I opened my Bible. My knees were shaking. I said, Lord, if I'm your preacher and this pastor of this church, you better do something. And I started preaching. I started out stuttering. I started out. About halfway in, I seen God moving. I seen them people moving. And I knew before the end of that sermon that I was all right.
Amen.
See, the word of God come from God. Amen. Always touches the true people of God.
That's right.
And all them people stood at the end of that sermon and said, we with you, Brother Mark.
Amen.
And that whole family walked out. Went down to the church down the road, Bedico Baptist. Brother Leo showed up the next Monday. Said, Brother Marvin, a bunch of your sheep showed up at my church and we don't want them. I said, God bless you, Brother Leo, but Seems like we've had a sanctified subtraction around here, so I don't know. But anyway, guys, it takes courage to follow God. That wasn't my courage. I didn't choose that. I would have never. But when it comes up to God, will we choose Him or choose the easy? It's hard to follow God. See, it takes courage and commitment to join a church, to say, I want to be part of that church. I want to be committed to that church. I want to serve God at that church and be accountable and support the work. It takes courage to walk an aisle. A lot of people say, you need to quit making them walk aisles. Let them do the undercover Christian. Just raise their hand. Don't make them be embarrassed. Jesus toted His cross publicly up the hill of Calvary. And if you can't walk an aisle in front of His own people, I don't think you got much commitment or courage. And if you want to change, and you aren't even willing to walk an aisle for His glory, you'll never change as long as you stay comfortable, safe in a pew. I will back the public worship an invitation till the day I die, because 3,000 people at the day of Pentecost, at the first time Peter preached, got baptized. And if they got baptized, they got recognized. And if they got recognized, they said, hey, Peter, I believe you. I choose Jesus. I repent. And Peter said, baptize them, 3,000. Friends, I'm not ashamed to say that if Jesus is dealing with your heart, you ought to walk in the hall for Him this morning. Amen. He walked Calvary for you. If you ain't got a church home, you'll never grow. You'll never be committed till you at least make that commitment. People say, church membership ain't in the Bible. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Philippians, Ephesians, them's churches. To the church at Corinth, to the church at Ephesians, to the church at Philippi. Friend, I don't know about you. They was members. I don't know how they got to be, but they were members. And we want everybody to be a member who's not ashamed to say, I serve Jesus at Bethany Baptist Church because our church stands for God. We are committed to Him. We have courage for Him. And we're willing to let Him have His way with us. He's moving at our church. And friends, I invite you today to join our Savior. If you're not saved, get saved. Amen. And if you're not committed, get committed. And if you don't have courage, ask Him for it. Strengthen my heart, oh God. Give me that good courage, Lord. You know what I found? He'll give it to you. Sometimes when you don't even want it. Today, God loves you. Let's love God. David, man, the good courage of David's heart. Ain't that something? David had strength and courage that came from God. That's what God gives us when we're right with Him. So I'm going to ask us to stand. Simple invitation. If you need to be saved, come. If you want to do whatever else, come. But if you need to join the church, today would be a good day if you want to join. But whatever you do, just commit to God. Have the courage to follow Him. And say, Lord, whatever you want to change in my life, here it is. Change me, oh God. Create in me that clean heart. Let me pray. Father, we lift You up in word and song and preaching, and now we come asking You to have Your way with us. And Lord, I thank You for this dear church family and what You're doing. I thank You for the evidence that You've showed up. And I just pray You'll bring people here that want to be committed to You, who will display courage because of what You're doing in their life, and whose lives will be laid open for You to display how You change people. And Lord, we'll give You all the glory for it. Lord, today, would You start in this time of invitation and have Your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen.